This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is definitely due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator, your creator, and the creator of entire creation. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all his companions and all those who are following him, have followed him and shall follow him until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, dearest sisters and listeners, on the first page of this 12th para or chapter that we've actually read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how the previous nations that he has created and that have gone by, whenever they have been faced with a prophet who has warned them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they began to question. And this question was always connected to the punishment. When is it going to come? Why is it not coming? You are telling us that we should believe, and you are telling us that if we do not, then there is a punishment to come. Why is it not coming? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this on the very first page. He says, وَلَئِنْ أَخَّرْنَا عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابَ إِلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ مَعْدُودَةٍ لَيَقُولُنَّ مَا يَحْبِسُهُ أَلَا يَوْمَ يَأْتِيهِمْ لَيْسَ مَصْرُوفًا عَنْهُمْ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. When the punishment is delayed, then they begin to say, what is it that is delaying this punishment? Nay, the day that that punishment does come, nothing will assist them. It will aim directly at them and it will hold them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such punishment. We should understand we are fortunate to be from amongst the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And being from amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have lots of goodness. We have goodness that we are taught to follow. And we should remember that at times, punishment comes to us in a different way. What is it, one might ask? It is the lack of contentment in one's life. That is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is inflicted with worldly damage, what we might perceive from a worldly aspect as a loss, but that person is content with the decree of Allah, then that was not punishment. It was actually an examination. And it was actually a test which could have resulted in that person's status being elevated, the spiritual status. But if a person is not content with a decree of Allah, say for example a warehouse burns down and a person becomes so frustrated, so discontented, so helpless, in fact, beginning to question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one should rest assured that that was punishment. We have learned from the ulama and from the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam that anything that comes in our direction, if we are happy about it inshaAllah, we accept it with open arms as taqdeer, and we accept it as the destiny that Allah has chosen for us, then inshaAllah that will result in our elevation. Ar-ridha bil-qada means to be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. That is by far the highest level of iman, the highest level that one could get to. So, just to cap this point and to repeat the main point that I'm trying to raise here, that is, we can easily figure out in our own lives whether what we are going through is a punishment or it is actually a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The criteria is, how do you feel about it? If you feel very upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it was a punishment. But if you feel that that was the decision of Allah, I tried my best, and this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that such a thing should happen, and alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every condition, then inshallah we will be from amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise. We all know that there are natural disasters, either cyclones or hurricanes or for example, the tsunamis that we've heard of lately, or earthquakes and so on. These natural disasters will be considered either as a punishment or a gift, depending on the person himself or herself. So the same issue and the same natural disaster can serve as a punishment for those who were in the nightclubs, for those who were in transgression, for those who may survive but are very, very upset and they are totally misplaced and displaced. And they are questioning the decree of Allah and it is turning them away from deen. For them it was definitely a punishment. But for those whom it drew them closer to Allah, wasn't it a point of goodness? For those whom they died in the condition of sujood, wasn't that the best way they could ever have died? For those who died whilst teaching the Quran, reading it, reciting it, reciting the shahada, whilst in full conviction of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasn't it a gift for them? In fact, it becomes martyrdom for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all martyrdom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention also of the fact that the weakness of man is such that when he is told regarding the day of resurrection, at times he disbelieves. Obviously this is not connected to us because we are mu'mineen. This is regarding the kuffar of the previous nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَئِن قُلْتَ إِنَّكُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ لَيَقُولَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ.
If you were to tell them that you are going to be resurrected on a certain day and you shall be questioned regarding everything you have done, the kuffar will say, that is magic. That is definitely something supernatural. That is something that we cannot accept. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not from amongst those who claim to believe in the day of resurrection and judgment, but our actions are heading elsewhere. And our actions are showing that we don't believe. We are just paying lip service to this belief. What do we mean? At times we say, I believe in the last day. Amantu billah. Amantu bil yawmil akhir. I believe in the last day. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find ourselves committing sin. We find ourselves stealing, cheating, deceiving, bad-mouthing and so on. Doesn't that mean that our actions are actually heading somewhere else? Our actions speak louder than the words that come out of our mouths. And we should all be careful of what we are doing, for indeed we shall be judged by our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true belief in the last day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes mention of the weakness of man. Whenever goodness befalls man, and then that goodness is taken away. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says.
وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَئُوسٌ كَفُورٌ.
When we have granted man lots of goodness and then we decide to test him by taking away that goodness, he becomes very, very miserable and he loses all hope. And at times man also begins to question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, not every single day is cold and not every single day is hot. Even the weather changes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test us. What is the test when it comes to weather? The test is, how are you going to protect this amana known as the body? This trust known as the body that I have entrusted you with. On cold days, do you go out to wear something warm in order to protect the body? If so, you have engaged in an act of worship if only your intention is correct. And on a warm day, do you ensure that you are cool but within the dress code of the Sharia at the same time? If you have ensured coolness for your own body with the correct intention, it becomes an act of worship, because in Islam, to protect this amana and trust known as a body that we have been entrusted with is an act of worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, weather also will not remain the same. If Allah wanted, there could have been room temperature throughout the globe, 23 degrees. Is it impossible for him? No, it's not. He could have had that conditioned, but he wants us to engage in acts of worship. At times we only wear because we are feeling cold. We have no intention of anything else. We can, inshallah, convert that into an act of worship from this day on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the same way that we will test you with the weather and we will test you with other matters of nature, we shall also test you with goodness that we will grant you, and then we want to see how you react. And after we've seen how you react, we will take that goodness away to then see how you react when you don't have it. And for this reason, those who are rich, you will never remain there. It will be taken away. Or even if you remain within the bracket of those who are rich, at some point you will suffer a huge loss because Allah just wants to see how you react. It is impossible for someone who is rich never to have suffered a huge loss in his or her life. And at times a person may have materially everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take away members of that particular person's family in a manner that will be a very big test for that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test for that person is, we have given you on this front, we've seen how you've reacted. Now we have tested you on this front, we want to see how you react. May Allah make us from amongst those who can react in the correct manner. Similarly, those who are poor will not remain poor forever. If Allah wills, He will grant them wealth in order to see. When they were poor, did they insult me or did they thank me? Did they engage in halal and permissible ways to earn sustenance, or did they go through to haram means, stealing and deceiving in order to earn sustenance? And then, when we took away their poverty, how then do they operate? Do they then give to those who are poor, just as they used to be some time back? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are generous. And may Allah make us content. As I mentioned this evening, contentment is a gift that really and truly never ever depletes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that contentment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the dunya, and He says very, very clearly,
مَن كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا.
Whoever's intention and main aim is the life of this dunya, this worldly life and the beauty of this life. Listen to what Allah says. Anyone whose intention is only to enjoy life, Allah says,
نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا.
We will grant them the full recompense of all their good deeds in this world, so that when they come on the day of judgment, they will have no more deeds remaining. We find sometimes there are disbelievers who may be good people. They may have good character, good conduct. They may have good behavior. They may be honest. They may be helping the poor. They may be engaged in humanitarian activity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in return, we will give them goodness in this world. We might give them beauty. We might give them wealth. We might give them contentment, which is just temporary. It will last whilst they last on this earth. We might give them children who will be the coolness of their eyes. We might give them authority on this globe for a little while. Then when they die, it will be too late, because they did not believe in the Islamic monotheism, the Abrahamic monotheism that the Quran harps on chapter after chapter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of all the prophets, or many of the prophets, one after the other. But before we go on to the message of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a little messenger who came to me here, the usual announcement of a motor vehicle, and this time it says BMW ND478632. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly grant us the acceptance to park our cars in a manner that we do not block others. And then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us those driving skills that can squeeze vehicles out without coming here to have to make announcements to say that the vehicles need to be moved. And I request the brother to really return back to his seat once he has moved his motor vehicle, for that indeed will be the litmus test. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, I told you every time his story is repeated, it's repeated for a different reason. In today's surah, Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights two or three issues. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights regarding many of the prophets, one particular statement that they've made.
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي.
They would tell their people, like Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, "Oh my people, do you see, if I was upon the guidance from my Rabb, who would be at loss, myself or yourselves?" Yourselves. Which means all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam told their people that, look, if I am lying, it's going to be against me. But if I am truthful, everyone here is going to lose. So, obviously common sense will lead a person to accept the message, especially when that message is full of goodness. If you study Islam, and when Islam says, stay away from adultery, stay away from intoxicants, stay away from everything that is bad. What a beautiful verse of the Quran.
يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ.
The whole message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is summed up in two words. He makes permissible through the command of Allah all that is good, and he prohibits everything that is bad. Whatever is considered as bad is haram in Islam. And whatever is considered as good is permissible in Islam. Now comes the question, what if human beings think something is good and it is not really good? So what is the criteria? The criteria in the Arabic language is known as al-aql as-sahih, which means the perfect mind. Who has a perfect mind? None of us. None of us. So that perfect mind is directly determined by an-naql as-sahih, which means correct and authentic revelation. Revelation shall dictate what is the perfect mind, and the revelation, which will then determine the perfect mind, determines what is good and bad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and acceptance to do that which is good and to abstain from that which is bad. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, do you see, if I am on the right path, if I have the guidance from my Rabb, what is it that you are going to lose? What is it that I am going to lose? And all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned in the same way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of another point that is highlighted when this story is repeated here in Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention even of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, who made a similar statement. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam says,
وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ.
Oh my people, I do not seek any wealth from you. And Salih alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing. He says, I do not want any wealth from you. In fact, it was Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. He says,
Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ajra.
Oh my people, I do not want any recompense from you. Nothing at all. What happens? Sometimes people come to talk to us. People come to remind us, to warn us. And at times it happens to the Christians and the Jews, whereby they have to pay their priests and their rabbis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. As Muslims, remember, the community or the congregation do not owe the imam anything. If you want to come in to read your prayers in any masjid, you walk in, read your prayers and walk out. Even if they don't know who exactly you were, there is no problem in Islam. We can walk into any masjid, read our prayers and walk out. In congregation, or if it is not time of congregation, ourselves, and walk out. It is not connected to wealth. There is nothing in the masjid to say that you have to put in so much. Even your compulsory zakat of 2.5% when it comes to the cash at hand, gold and silver and stock, even that, it is not your duty to give it to a particular masjid or a particular direction. It is your choice. You need to ask yourself, am I giving it in the right direction to the poor directly, or to someone who can fulfill that for me, who is trustworthy? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this, that all the messengers told their people, look, we don't want wealth from you. We are not interested in your money. We've come to you with news, with rules, with regulations, with information. Are you going to take it? Sometimes when a person gets up, some people might feel that, oh, this person must be making a lot of money by him having got up and spoken to us. I wonder what they've paid him. Those ideas, really and truly, they are very, very far from the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly straighten our minds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast at all times. May we not be from amongst those who earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, may we not be from amongst those who extract the wealth of people unjustly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in this story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, a very interesting conversation. This conversation is divided into two. It is connected to a certain family member of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was in his ark, and the water began to gush out, and now the ark began to move, and he saw his son. His son had not accepted the call. One might ask, that was a Nabi of Allah, a messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His own son didn't accept. Well, that was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show everyone that guidance is solely in the hands of Allah. A person can be the greatest alim, the greatest scholar of deen. If Allah wills for his children to be on the other side or for one of them, may Allah save us all. But if Allah wills that, there is nothing anybody could do to change that. Just like the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to his son.
وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُنْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ
He spoke to his son saying, O my son, ride with us and do not be from amongst those who are the kuffar. And what did his son say? His son knew the father very well. He says, No, my father, I'm going to climb a mountain and that will save me from the water today. He saw the water. The water was there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his son, O my son, nothing shall help you from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day. And unfortunately, a wave came between them and he drowned. So now, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the second part of his conversation. After the ark had stopped and all the floods had subsided, whatever was meant to be destroyed was destroyed, and he emerged from the ark, he spoke to his Rabb, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he say? His Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him that, O Nuh, I'm going to save you and your family. So he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقُّ
Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to his Rabb and he said, O my Rabb, my son, isn't he from my family? Didn't you promise me that you would protect my family? And your promise is definitely the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded,
Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik, innahu amalun ghayru salih, fala tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi ilm.
O Nuh, he is not from your family. Biologically he might be, but he has evil deeds that has distanced him from you as a family member. Which means the ties were severed because he had evil deeds. Imagine being called directly by a Nabi. Today, alhamdulillah, we have ulama who call us. We have warnings that come, messages that come to us in different ways. We need to turn. But imagine if there was a Nabi in our midst. Most probably we have not been chosen as being the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For very good reasons, one of those reasons might just be, we are too weak. Imagine if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here in person, and we happen to be the companions. Just imagine for a moment. What would we do when he says, don't eat interest? What would we do? We would get up to him and justify to say, you know, life has become tough. Things have changed. It's difficult. What type of an answer do you think that is? When he says, stay away from music, for example. We say, no, certain types of music are allowed. No. Some of the scholars, there's difference of opinion regarding music. What do you think he would say as a result? That is why we are not Sahaba. But inshallah, we can be companions in the Akhirah. When? If we decide to obey immediately. When the truth comes to us, don't justify it. Abstain from that which is bad. Meaning, don't justify the evil that we are engaged in. Abstain. If we abstain and surrender, similar to the surrendering of the Sahaba, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really say that we deserve being with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Akhirah? Because whenever anything came to us, we surrendered immediately and we did not question. So at times, weakness of man drives man to try and justify something evil just because man is involved in that evil. Most questions that ulama are asked, when someone fires back with a counter question, and a counter question, I'm not saying that is bad, but normally the reason is that person may just be involved in it and really does not know. And we should not be from amongst those who feel bad when we are told. If we feel bad when we are told, we will never ever improve. In fact, we will join the ranks of those who were cursed of the previous nations because they felt very bad when they were told. They felt offended to the degree that they rolled their sleeves and they went to war against the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Hud alayhi salatu wassalam and his people who were known as Aad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, before I get to that, there was something very interesting that I came across and I'd like to share it with everyone here. There is one verse in the Quran which has the most memes in it. It has 17 memes in one little verse of the Quran. And that verse is in Surah Hud, towards the end of the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and try and listen to the memes that I'm about to read.
قِيلَ يَا نُوحُ اهْبِطْ بِسَلَامٍ مِنَّا وَبَرَكَاتٍ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّمَّنْ مَعَكَ وَأُمَمٌ سَنُمَتِّعُهُمْ ثُمَّ يَمَسُّهُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
What a beautiful verse. 17 memes in one verse, and on the other hand, there is a whole surah without a single meme in it. If you want to hear it, here it is.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar.
Subhanallah. Look at the power of the Quran. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who chooses where he shall put the various letters of the Arabic language. And that too is used as power. Look at how nice we are feeling about it. Yet it is just some power of the Quran connected to the letters only of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman. So as I was mentioning, Hud alayhi salatu wassalam told his people, I do not want any recompense from you. I don't want wealth. I'm not seeking to take anything from you.
Do you know that today, when someone does good to us, we need to scratch our heads to think, what do they want in return? Why are they being so good to us?
It's a fact. Because we have become so low that when someone smiles at us, we think, why are they smiling? When someone helps us and assists us, we look at ourselves, do I have a daughter or a son? What do I have? What is it? Am I married or not married? Does someone intend something here? Have I got wealth? What type of a business do I have? So for that reason, the Anbiya made it very clear. We are being good to you, not because we want something in return, subhanallah. We want the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all as Muslims be such. When we do good, do it for the sake of Allah. Don't have ulterior motives such that now we intended our daughter to marry that young man. The day he didn't, we become upset with him until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a point that was mentioned by Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam as well as the other Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, and it is highlighted in Surah Hud. He says,
استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه.
This statement connected to two portions of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the result. The Anbiya have said, seek forgiveness and return to Allah. Tawbah in reality means to return. Istighfar is to seek forgiveness. And tawbah is to return. So, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam have taught all the people that if you'd like mercy, if you'd like rainfall, if you'd like goodness, you need to do two things. Firstly, engage in istighfar, seek forgiveness. And secondly, then return to the right path. Don't go back to your bad ways. Return to the right path without going back to the evil that you were engaged in. So we must understand, if we are only going to say, I am sorry, and I apologize. And the next day we do the same thing. Is that worth it? No, it's not. But we need to understand, I am sorry, I admit my error. I seek forgiveness and I will never repeat it again. Then live your life in such a way that you prove to the Almighty that you have abstained for His sake. That sin might come in front of you again. And it might become easy for you to commit it, because shaitan makes it quite simple then again. Because he wants to lead all of us astray. And the winner, the one who will gain contentment, is the one whom solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can say, Ya Allah, I'm abstaining from this only for your sake. Then taste the contentment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon myself and yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that whenever the punishment came, and this is one of the specialities of Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of whenever the punishment came, the Nabi and those who believed with him were always saved. They were always saved. If you hear in tonight's verses, most probably we have heard where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا هُودًا فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا صَالِحًا وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا شُعَيْبًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ.
When the punishment came, we saved Shu'aib, we saved Hud, we saved Salih, we saved Lut, and the people who believed with them. What this means is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment descends upon the transgressors, insha'Allah, thumma insha'Allah, He will not let down those who have believed, and those who have truly remained on the path. And even if they are martyred in the process, they will be on a totally different level, having died for totally different reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. There are several verses that I had intended to interpret tonight, which inshallah we will leave for tomorrow if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the life and the memory. Similarly, there has been a request by some that I go into some of the gems that are generally extracted from Surah Yusuf. So inshallah, tomorrow is the appointment. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.